I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here. It is May 7th, 2025. We're here for your AEW Dynamite post-show. And listen, we're here like every night this week, even with the Collision change, as Collision is on Thursday this week because of, I believe, NBA, NHL, all that good stuff. But if you're wanting to show Saturday, guess what? WWE Backlash is this Saturday. We're going to give you some odds later on, courtesy of Bet Online. Not just me doing a show over here on Fightful, over on FightfulSelect.com that had four exclusive stories today. Alex Pawlowski will be over there doing a, let's just say it's going to be a much more negative review than mine, regardless of what happens on the show.
I mean, it's a safe bet. It's a safe bet.
Listen, the Bet Online odds for that one. Yeah. I'm gonna warn you all.
No, don't
take the bet.
That is the lock of the weekend.
That is the lock pick.
For sure. When you've got a second hour of Raw match as a PLE match between Dominic and Penta, well, you know, but I'm sure with all of the matches on the card, that one won't. Oh wait, it's 1/5 of the card. Yes. So I mean, we'll see. We'll see whether or not Pat McAfee, a punter and commentator, beats one of the greatest wrestlers we've ever seen. We'll see whether or not they decide to do that, and that'll be dependent on how angry I am at the end of the show.
I want to tell you guys about FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. In addition to this gentleman over here burying everything in wrestling, including plenty of AEW stuff. I've got a Discord over there that we are constantly in. I'm answering questions. Quite frankly, we have been the most aggregated website in wrestling for years at this point. Almost, I'd say about 4 to 7 times a week. I also do something called Select Answers, which is me taking Q&A questions from our Q&A audio and typing out answers as well, too, because I know some of you can't get to listen to it every week. But if you want to, we do have a Q&A show there every week. But today, we had a ton of stories, including confirmation on the signing of Tekla, which we will talk about momentarily. Perhaps the most obvious report in the history of Fightful Select, the Good Brothers, who are currently shadows alongside the Young Bucks, but are doing an interview with me tomorrow to promote the New Japan show on Friday, have agreed and are doing work with New Japan. But in addition to that, we had updates on Juice Robinson. He is effectively healthy and ready to go. And something that we probably should have seen coming from a mile away. There is going to be pro wrestling power slap, including the likes of Hollywood, Haley J, and Zicky Dice, which I will just say, of course.
And Marty the Moth Martinez from
Marty the Moth
Underground.
And perhaps the most horrifying, juicy finale, of which I got sent a clip of. I'm horrified as to what might happen there. FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 of the business. There's going to be some real interesting stories over there. Plus, you guys want to be over there during WWE Backlash. I don't tweet as much during these shows anymore. I am over at the Discord talking with you guys, but we're going to have a lot of scoops surrounding that show as well. FightfulSelect.com. But another story that Fightful Select, not just Fightful Select, but Beyond the Bell's Andrew Zarian had first put out into the world, and then we followed up on, AEW got a new theme song, Alex. Sum 41's You Wanted War. This is quite the improvement over I'm So Excited, in my opinion, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different take on a wrestling theme song than I'm So Excited by the Pointer Sisters. I noticed it was different, and I was like, I didn't immediately suss out Sum 41, but it is fine. I mean, I didn't immediately go, oh, that's bad, or that doesn't fit. It just that seems like it could be a perfectly fine wrestling show theme song. We'll see, you know, if they, how long they keep it, stuff like that. It's fine.
What does it say that a band that peaked 23 years ago were saying, what an improvement?
I love
Sum 41. I love Sum 41. I like their music. I think they're good. They did peak over two decades ago, but still, this was way better. Way better. And this is a relatively new song, like a little over a year old, this song.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like an older one or anything, but FightfulSelect.com reported last week that Tekla was en route to AEW. And tonight we saw the teaser, the spider climbing on the AEW logo. I'm very excited for this. I'm particularly excited for it because this is going to give her a chance to hopefully add some flavor, add some character to some people, but she's going to have to deliver in the ring at, I think, a very high level to keep up in AEW. And that's not something that we have seen a lot of in recent years, or at least the last year or so from Tekla, but I'm a big fan of her coming in. Fightful Selected reported last year, WWE at least had their eyes on her. I don't know if they expressed interest or talked with her, but she's been planning this move for a long time, and AEW landed another one, Alex.
I'm not as familiar with her work as others, but I've seen enough to know that she's got a hell of a presence. The funniest thing about all of this is that I missed the spider thing, but everybody in the SGS Discord was like, did you see the spider?
Yeah.
There was a spider. See the spider? And I thought, until somebody showed me a picture of what the spider looked like crawling around the AEW logo, I thought they meant there was an actual literal spider crawling around on the lens of the camera. I had no idea what this meant, but I've been wisened up now. To know that she is sometimes called the poison spider. This is a really cool thing, a really great little hint for the people who are in the know. A blink and you miss it type of deal. Those are always kind of fun because it builds anticipation and makes people, well, I'm going to definitely watch all the time now just so I don't miss the next time they do one of these. It's really cool little touches like this that I think will help a lot with the presentation.
So obviously WWE's had a bunch of releases, including a number that we unfortunately had to report last week, but their signings this year have largely been former AEW talent, some of which are actually former WWE talent that went to AEW. We've got Miro, Malakai Black, Ricky Starks, Lucha Brothers, all of whom I think are way better fits in WWE, except maybe Ricky. I think Ricky could have been a top tier AEW fit. I think he could fit anywhere though. AEW signings have been Megan Bain, who you could have easily seen step into NXT and be the top woman there. Speedball Mike Bailey, who, again, I think if they put him in NXT, all the kids would be going crazy over Mike Bailey over there. Yeah. Kevin Knight, I think, would have been a phenomenal NXT talent. Josh Alexander, I think he's probably where he should be. But we got Tekla as well. Mina Shirakawa. What we are seeing, like a lot of these signings, we haven't seen a lot of like, oh, well, they need to be polished and all that. You're seeing a lot of talent that are already kind of polished talent with Kevin Knight having plenty of room to grow. But like Speedball Mike Bailey's been considered one of the best in the world. Josh Alexander, one of the best in the world. Lucha Brothers, like, come on, one of the best tag teams for a long time. Miro and Malakai Black, we've known what they could do for a decade. Like, this is the way that a lot of these signings have gone, as It seems like both companies are sort of paring down the ones that you're signing off of potential alone.
Right. I mean, there's now WWE's got a whole reality show for that. You know what I mean? Like, sure. They got this thing where the Undertaker is, you know, deciding, Bully Ray are deciding who are going to be the next hot signing. Like, okay, so they got that. And they're doing the stuff with Evolve. They're still bringing in all these NIL people to figure out if they got what it takes. I mean, sorry, you're not going to get drafted as an offensive tackle. Let's see if you could do a forward role. Like, I get all that. AEW seems to be like, well, that's not our bag. We want to bring in people from elsewhere who are now free agents who can fit in with a certain role right away. And I think that they seem to know what it is that sets them apart from WWE, and trying to find people who fit into that role as well. But they are stacking a roster that was already stacked. Like some really good, before we even got Bayley and Alexander, there was some really great stuff. Kevin Knight as well. And you can see how immediately those three guys are being utilized to their full potential. I think that there have been some injuries in AEW recently that have kind of opened some spots. And once those guys get back, Orange Cassidy, Pac, Juice Robinson now is cleared. Like, Jay White is hurt. He's going to come back. Once those guys are back, we will see how all of the shakes out with the new guys who have come in since those guys have been hurt. And we'll see what goes on from there. But it's really interesting with the rosters right now.
Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop a fruit emoji if you're here. Drop a comment on the video afterwards. But get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Our friend Kingslayer always saying pears and apples. They can be compared. They can absolutely be compared. They're very similar. Mm. You could argue they're both kind of like hand-eye coordination.
You ever had one of those Asian apple pears?
Those, yeah, the Fuji pears, ooh. For sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, those. Oh, really good stuff.
I'm a big fan of those. Like, depending on where I am, like, I can't buy pears from Kroger here. They just go from completely unripe to wasted. I buy the Publix ones in the bag. They're really good. But that's neither here nor there. I guess it is pears. You can't compare that. But get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate if you guys did that. We also had the hump today where we answered your questions nonstop. I went off about Shelton Benjamin and Hulk Hogan. That was a lot of fun. But, man, lots happened this week. Also, something I want to mention, Fightful Espanol. We're going to be growing that beyond Twitter. I'll be as transparent with you guys because everybody's been asking about these AAA contracts and WWE. Right now, Luis is helping me sort of parse a lot of this stuff. AAA has not been my beat. I am not going to sit here and pretend like it has been. I've got some sources down there, but I don't have anywhere near the sources that I have in AEW, TNA, New Japan, WWE, things I've been covering heavily for years, or even CMLL. I'm not as familiar with that. Luis is really helping me get familiar with that. We are going to open a number of different platforms on that. I was warned by a prominent person in Mexico that hit me up and they're like, do you realize what you're getting into when we started Espanol? And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, it's very tabloid style. And I was like, look who you're talking to. And they're like, no, you look like a Pulitzer winner in comparison. Oh, I was like, really? Because I grew up reading Lucha Blog, who is great and respected and all that stuff. So I think I was sort of insulated from that because I don't follow a ton of it. And then I see people like Rob Viper and people that follow this stuff religiously saying, yeah, it's going to be bad. And you're going to see a lot of American outlets that just trust whatever. Then I see some outlets I know running almost verbatim an email that I know that I also got as well. That's just claiming to know a lot of this stuff. But the difference is me and Luis are like, you know, maybe we should check into all this shit before we go and run this all over our platform. So,
okay.
If you all are, if you speak Spanish, show Luis some love. He is going to be leading the charge on that. He is going to become our go-to guy for a lot of stuff like that. And he has helped me immensely on that end of things. But, oh man, Hangman Page promo interrupted by Will Ospreay, and Hangman had said, you know, I will never forgive or forget Swerve for what he did, but I had to move past it to be in the Owen. Before we get to the Ospreay element, like, they're starting to nudge a little bit back at it, Alex.
They are. On that night, when he stuck the syringe in Swerve's face, when he beat him in that match, and then afterwards, that moment where he got to the top of the ramp, and there was the, you could see him realizing, I got no solace from this. I went on a diatribe on the Fightful Select review, like analyzing the performance from an actor's point of view and reading all these emotions on his face. And then tonight, he just confirmed literally everything that I said on that night. It made me feel vindicated in my analysis of his performance, but also the way that he admitted it to us, that he thought he would feel joy in that moment and he felt nothing. Like that it was so evident in his performance. And I love that he's bringing that up now, because it that felt like it had to be a turning point for him. And yes, he dove deeper into this rage, but it was unfocused. Like, he was just trying to destroy anything he possibly could, because maybe that will give me something. And of course that didn't either. And so now he's here and he'll never forgive Swerve. But he's just got to put it behind him. And of course, the next step of that is the two men then both putting that behind them and joining forces to face the Young Bucks, which I still think is the plan going forward. But that was just an amazing, amazing moment that happened at All Out. And also here with him, you don't really ever get wrestlers being like, this is what I was feeling in that moment, and I have taken some time to process what I was feeling, and here's what I think it means. Like, but of course we're going to get that from the anxious millennial cowboy. That's the guy we're going to get it from. And I thought this was a really, really excellent promo, and him thanking the fans for, like, I don't understand how anybody could cheer for me after all the things I've done, but thank you. It really does matter. Like, that was a really cool thing. But yeah, Will Ospreay coming out here, like, this is the exact right match to finish out the Owen, a Double or Nothing.
It's a huge match too. It's a huge match. As I get this, I'm seeing a tweet where, Tony Khan has told the Detroit crowd he wants to bring a pay-per-view there, which, hey, great. Direct flight from Kentucky, for me to decide last minute to not go to, but Ospreay comes out and he shares his feelings, and he's like, this isn't about your redemption. It's about my ascension. Mm-hmm. And then they're interrupted by the Callis family, and like, the Callis family, like, they just don't let shit go ever.
No, they really
don't. Never let it go. They don't let it go. And it's a little frustrating at times, but Ospreay also takes it upon himself. He's like, you need two guys. And he's grabbing Hangman, and Hangman grabs his arm, and he's like, get off me, bro.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
I just love, like, you know, because Ospreay was basically like, all of this stuff that you're going through doesn't matter because I'm beating you and I'm going to go to Double or Nothing. I'm going to become the champion. And then, like, yeah, anyway, about that, you're going to be my partner, right? And Hangman's like, I don't remember signing off on that.
Yeah.
This is some really good stuff. This is the rare can they coexist match that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says Hangman's the best storyteller in wrestling, period. He's one of them. He's one of the best. Like, he's a character that we all emotionally invest in, and it's gone very well. James Zimmerman says, is it me or is it, he goes, is it just me or is AEW getting better each week? Not only the in-ring, the storylines, but also the camera work has been way better. Love this show again, like I did in 2020. The production has absolutely improved. On any given week, I might say that, like, last week's Dynamite is better, but I rarely leave Dynamite saying, well, I wish I wouldn't have watched that show, or I felt like that was a waste of time or anything like that. Very, very rarely does that happen. We will talk more about Will Ospreay momentarily. Mm. We had a backstage with Anna Jay and Harley Cameron. And like, I like the interaction between Harley Cameron and Anna Jay. I like that. There was something really artificial about Anna Jay in this. Like the warming up, like, I don't know why. I was just like, I don't think she warms up like that. I don't think that's how she warms up.
I think that's possible.
We're like 2 years into the I'm going to choke you out thing. Mm-hmm. And to me, when you've got like Marina Shafir on that roster, right, and we know like there's nothing in her background that makes me be like, okay, somebody needs to be afraid she's going to choke them out. But what I see in Anna Jay is someone who always improves. I think one day she's going to find like that thing. And it's what I keep saying about Cora Jade on the indies. If she finds that thing, she'll be back in WWE. She's 24 years old, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Anna Jay one day is going to find that thing, and it's not going to be, I'm going to choke you out.
No.
Because when you lose that much, you can't really threaten that all the time.
Like, right, right. I mean, yes, she's been off TV for a lot of time, but she was doing really, really well in, I guess it was the fall? And then she went away for a bit, but I really think that being around Harley will help her figure out timing, like just being natural, even while being goofy. Cause that is also Harley Cameron's bag. Like, I think they could be a really, man, AEW needs women's tag titles. You just have so many women on that, well, on that roster right now. And thing, Harley, like, Harley and Anna Jay could be a really fun tag team. I don't know if they'd be champs, but they'd be a really fun tag team.
I honestly don't want them as a tag team. I want Ty Conti to come back, or Ty Guevara now to come back, because they had some really good matches together.
Yeah, they did.
Like against Ruby and Willow, and then Penelope and the Bunny, they had that street fight that was just incredible. They had a match against Penelope and Britt Baker that was really good. Like, I really think they should do that. And I think after last week, they should really tell the audience and the wrestlers, this is where you go if you want to be a women's tag team wrestler. Like, this is it. So we had a four-way eliminator, and when I saw this match get booked, I go, oh, well, this is the easy way for them to do an eliminator without Tony losing. And then I was like, you know what? I don't hate Tony winning here for a couple reasons. One, it was completely unpredictable. I actually didn't think she was going to win.
Yeah.
Two, I love her using the chicken wing as a finish. Like,
yeah, you've been doing that a couple times. I like that.
I like it because it's like, man, she wins so many eliminators. Like, we've got to stack the deck against her. Mm-hmm. But I think they should do this with more eliminators in the future. Like, make it common for it to be a three-way or a four-way. Mm-hmm. And now you have established, oh, well, the champion isn't going to always lose these.
Right. Yes.
I think that's a good way to do it. So even though it wasn't what I expected, I look at it and I go, okay, well, if they continue this, I like that they have done this to not condition the audience to just think, oh, well, obviously the champion's not winning this, but they're not eating the pin either.
Right.
I was cool with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a way to do the eliminators so that you actually have these wind up becoming actual title matches more often is to do them in the multi-person matches. Because if Thunder Rosa pins Anna Jay or Penelope Ford, and then Thunder Rosa gets a title shot out of it, at least you didn't have to pin Toni Storm to get there. You know what I mean? I guess I agree with you, but my thing would be, I don't know why you do this match if you're not going to have somebody else pin somebody else to get a match with Toni Storm. Unless you're setting up some other major thing for Toni at Double or Nothing, because right now Toni has nothing for Double or Nothing. I don't think we're just going to do Jamie Hayter versus Mercedes, even though that's an amazing match. I thought we would figure out something for Toni to do otherwise. And we seem to reconfigure Thunderstorm in there together. while Megan Bain decided, hey, it's a fatal four-way, which means it's legal for me to come in there and beat up everybody so Penelope can win. And then Harley comes out wearing a Pistons jersey and carrying a lead pipe and runs off Megan Bain. So are we doing some big multi-women's team match at Double or Nothing? I was like, Anarchy in the Arena for the ladies? Like, is this like a surprise thing you put together? But I don't think there's enough animosity to like justify that totally. It just feels like we got to figure out something for Tony to do in ring. Her just being on commentary for Jamie versus Mercedes isn't necessarily enough for me. We got to do a second match for women at Double or Nothing.
I enjoyed the match. One thing, like what we're talking about, camera work. It took Thunder Rosa quite a bit of time to get up on the top rope, but you wouldn't know that the women were down there waiting on her because right. The camera stayed on Rosa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's something that I'm glad that they have done more just across wrestling. Adrian, you sent a very generous super chat. Let me know. I'm moderating this show myself. Let me know if you have a question or anything. I would love to answer it, or two for that matter, for what you sent in. I would greatly appreciate that. To give you as much for your super chat as you donated. But Shadow Ceases Collision, been on the same vibe as Dynamite. Got to say, AEW back-to-back, not mad. Can't wait to watch tomorrow. We do have a live post show tomorrow, by the way, Guys. So if you're watching Collision live, I don't know what we're doing with TNA yet. I know I'm interviewing Steve Macklin Friday about the dog collar match, but we do have a Collision post show. We have it every week, but we're also going to have it tomorrow night. So anything that stood out to you in this match? I love the, how else can we say it? The cunt punts in this match.
Yeah, there were a few of those. I did love Tony like doing turnabouts fair play.
Yes.
With the lady area stomp. Yes. I liked that a lot. Her standing there, like recognizing what, yeah, sure. I'll do it back to you.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot. But no, I honestly really enjoy, like, when you do these fatal four ways or triple threats where it's no DQ, just by the nature of it, and Penelope is the bad girl who's got a giant friend, and there's no penalty if the giant friend decides to come in and hit everybody with lariats, like, it's a smart thing for them to do that. And I like that they had the idea to let's do that until Harley Cameron plays the equalizer, and then we can get back down to the actual match. I thought that was really well done. And again, I really do love Toni Storm winning with a chicken wing. I think that's a really cool new thing to give her. I think she should still occasionally win with the Storm Zero.
Yes.
But also the chicken wing really works for her.
I love the crossface chicken wing. Also, Adrian, thank you so much, man. I know you said you were just showing love. That means an awful lot. Thank you so much. Mr. Showtime says, Alex, their name ain't Thunderstorm, say it right.
I was not aware of the name change, but I see in the chat that's apparently now what they call themselves.
Yes. Megan Bain did a run in towards the end of this, and I like how the ref was just like, get out of the ring. And she's like,
But
why?
He can't make her.
Yeah.
It's entirely no disqualification. She could have been in there from the very beginning.
Nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do. What I would like in that situation is some reasonable ref's discretion to eliminate a participant from the match based on their alliance or association with said talent.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that should be a thing.
Yeah, if you don't leave, I'm disqualify your friend.
Yes.
Maybe that's how you do it. Yeah.
Or they're effectively eliminated.
Yeah.
The Hurt Syndicate come out. They kind of make an open challenge. We see Crew in the crowd. We see Top Flight come out. And like with Top Flight and Crew, I'm just like, I want to see something more about them that isn't just them interacting and having like a backstage and all that. Like, give me more reason to connect.
The entirety of Crew, because there is no definite article. It's just yeah. Crew, and it's spelled C-R-U. It feels like a store in the mall you don't shop at. Like that's what Crew feels like.
So me. Every store in the mall now.
Right, there you go. Them being out there but not doing anything, just wandering into the frame, but not doing anything. But Top Flight comes out, and my thing was like, Top Flight, you just lost to
yes
Crew. So yeah. and they said, hey, we haven't had been on a really hot streak, but if you guys are looking for somebody to hurt, we'll take it. Because we'll absolutely get in the ring with you because we know we can stack up against anybody in the tag division. And I appreciate they acknowledge that they're on a losing streak. But they also said, hey, those guys over there, they beat us, but they're not man enough to jump the barricade and get in the ring with you guys. We are. So I honestly liked all of that. But yes, you're right. Leo Rush and Action Andretti should be fighting other people other than Top Flight just to like cement themselves and see what else they've got going on.
Well, MJF comes out and does hurt Top Flight. Like that is what happens. He gets in Lashley's face, and crowd was super into it. Really into MJF. They want him in Hurt Syndicate. And Bobby Lashley says he will have an answer next week. Backstage, they have a new lawyer who advises Lashley to not talk till next week. Mm-hmm. What do you think the significance of that is?
I don't know. I don't know what the lawyer thing is. I know what I think the significance of not until next week is, because Cedric Alexander's 90 days is open at midnight.
Yes, what James Stallings said. But by the same breath, they could have just said, "I'll have an answer for you tomorrow night on Collision."
They could have, but. Collision is fairly stacked, and they're usually pretty good about keeping people on one show or the other right now. Mm-hmm. So setting it for next week is just as good as tomorrow. But I feel like it's one of those things of like the Hurt Syndicate comes down, and we would like to announce that we will be accepting tonight a new member of the Hurt Syndicate. And then MJF's music hits before they can say anything else. And he just struts down to the ring, knowing how great he is and how he's a shoe-in. And then you didn't let us finish. We are accepting a new member. And it's this man. And it's Cedric Alexander comes out. I feel like that's a really great way to just get Max's goat. And maybe it's been like them stringing him along the whole time. Even MVP. Like, but just to troll him because we wanted to see you squirm, like something like that. I don't know. Maybe MVP would have cut a great promo on like, I'll never forget how you disrespected me 8 years ago. Something like that. He cut a great promo at Max. I would never wanted you in here. I just wanted you to want to be into the Hurt Syndicate. Like something like that, that then really pisses off Max. So he can find his own guys to then do a match. I think there's some really cool stuff here.
You know, MJF offered watches, cars, the company of women. He didn't offer the one thing that would have made it happen. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Huge discount, 4 extra months. You can protect your online activity. Listen to your favorites abroad. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. It's available on all your devices and operating systems. And there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, if you're looking to cut the cord on cable, which I have recently, less than 1 month of the price of YouTube TV gets you 2+ years of NordVPN.com/Fightful. And you may say, well, then what do I do? Well, then if you just have a Netflix account, you can change your virtual location. And in addition to watching Raw, you watch NXT, SmackDown, and the PLEs. Jimmy said, what do you think NBC Universal thinks about that? And I said, guess what? We don't have a partnership with NBC Universal. We got a partnership with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I'm not exactly a tech genius. But I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
W pay-per-views coming up. You got UFC this weekend. You want those prices, the price that they're paying overseas? Change your virtual location. Get it over there. You're good to go. You save a bunch of money with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Maybe that's what the Hurt Syndicate wants. Maybe they don't want their wallets hurt. That's what it is. They hurt people. They don't hurt their own bank accounts. They're smart fellas. NordVPN.com/Fightful. By the way, it's been put over by TEDx, Huffington Post, Yahoo, CNET, Forbes, all kinds of people. NordVPN.com/Fightful. That wasn't all we saw from MJF. Ospreay was backstage. MJF said that Ospreay is the reason they put directions on shampoo bottles, which did pop me. But MJF said that he hopes that Ospreay wins because he knows he can get an easy dub over him, which anyone that remembers that reference, it was after 59-59 and MJF had to have oxygen. Yeah. Easy dub. And Ospreay's like, you know what? If we do go that route, and if we had gone that route in the Owen, it would have ended up just like Wembley. Yeah. A nice little tease here. They had a phenomenal in-ring feud last year.
Yeah, this is good. Will came dangerously close to smooching two guys.
Yeah,
tonight
a lot of very, very kissy angles being implied. Yeah, here.
And again, they never kiss. They always come so close to kissing, and they never kiss. Maybe next month, just you know, to celebrate. But I thought this was a really interesting little wrinkle here. To just create, to make sure that we know that a couple of weeks ago, they made sure we remembered that MJF doesn't like Hangman. And tonight, they made sure to remind us that MJF doesn't like Will Ospreay. There's a lot of interesting things here to, like, just keeping a lot of irons in the fire to make sure we don't forget these rivalries so that when they decide to heat one up, that it'll all be right there ready for us. I thought this was all very good.
Nick Wayne defends his title, not on ROH, but on AEW against a person from Christian's past. And we get Rhino for the hometown pop, but what should have happened happens. He ends up getting the win over Rhino. Crowd was pissed.
I don't think they expected Rhino to win, but I do think they expected a longer match than what they got, because that was quick.
What they should have done was have a situation where Kip Sabian got gored.
Yeah, that's what they should have done.
The crowd. Otherwise, like, Christian hits the bricks. I got no problem with this. Rhino's there to get hometown pop, and he puts over the kid. I've got no problem with this.
Nick Wayne should win. And then the drama afterwards with Christian almost putting the belt around him, but then taking it and looking at it for a while. And then Nick Wayne saying, can I please have my belt? And Christian dropping it on the canvas and leaving. They're really heavily teasing this whole, breakup of the patriarchy. While also, you know, I'm assuming here in the next 6 weeks or so, throwing a major monkey wrench into the whole thing by reteaming Christian with Copeland. So that's going to be, maybe this patriarchy breakup might be, they might put a pin in that and finish it off in August, or they would have to get it all done here in the next month. And that's tough since Nick Wayne is going to battle with the Super Juniors.
Kingslayer says, I think the AEW babyface big three of Hangman, Ospreay, and Swerve might be the best in wrestling history. We had the AEW pillars. Now it's the big three era. You've also got Kenny Omega there.
Oh, sure.
Friend, like, I have long said, I think those four should be mega, mega, mega protected and then kind of clash. I want one day for AEW to have its equivalent of the Armageddon 2000 cage match. Although Rikishi doesn't quite fit in these days.
No, not quite.
You had a big six in that era that, you know, just missed each other at times, but you had Taker, Triple H, Rock, Austin, Angle, and usually like Foley or somebody like that. But you had like six you could really lean on. AEW's got that. Although
Rikishi was in that match to get chokeslammed off of a giant cage into the back of a dump truck. That's why he was in that match. That was a hell of a bump. But that's what that is why he was in that match, to take that bump.
James Stalling says, I'm not a tribalist, but Will said today about him being the best in the world, I'd put Ospreay in the ring over anybody in the world. Listen, I would too. I would say right now my three favorite in-ring performers are Will Ospreay, probably Shiri Kondo, Mayu Iwatani, Io Sky. Mostly Japanese women are better than everybody except for Will Ospreay at this point. You know, people love to just bitch about anything like that. Like, give them anything that references somebody else, and they're going to, you know. Yeah. We've got Zach saying the trios match gave him a chub. I'm a simple man. Flippy shit equals boner. And if you want to get a chub. Well, listen, we can blame Kate on this one, because behind the scenes, Kate swapped our ad reads. Tonight was supposed to be a Blue Chew read. Zach, she left you hanging, buddy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As a result. And if you want to get a chub, I don't know, win a bet with Bet Online. We'll tell you more about the odds later on. Please bet what you can and only bet and please bet responsibly. Jordan says all the women in the four-way have a tag team pair known already. Add Willow and Stat plus others. Get them world women's tag titles already. I constantly say it. I won't shut up about it.
Yeah.
I tell you this. I was told that it was taken to Tony Khan and didn't immediately shoot the idea down.
Okay.
Seemed receptive. But listen, I'm all for the women having singles titles and all that, but I'm like, okay, adding a pure championship before adding these tag titles.
Especially in ROH, where, like, you know, like they've got a, it's not, I'll say it's not run really well down there. You know what I mean?
Run so very like, poorly, yeah.
You don't need to add another tag, another title to it. Like, it's a streaming service that 12 people pay for. Like, it's not the same. It would create so much more of an impact to do a women's tag title inaugural tournament, get 16 teams in there, because guess what? You got that entire roster of ROH women who you can give exposure to. So maybe it'll go from 12 people paying for the streaming service to 14 or 15. You know what I mean? That's what we want out of this.
Let's cook up some teams right now. Just out of what we've got, like that we could do. Anna Jay, Ty Conti, that's one. That's one right off the bat that has happened. The Vendetta, that's two.
Yep.
Got that one. Good to go. You know what would be a nice little surprise, and they could actually take an L? Brit and Rebel. If you just brought them back in there, Brit and Rebel, there you go. Sure. That would be funny. And they could play off the fact that Britt couldn't find literally anybody to team with her. Mm-hmm. She had to find Rebel to do that. Thunder and Tony, Athena and she could pick up any minion, but you could obviously lean back into the Billy stuff if you needed to. Mercedes and Harley for sure. Mm-hmm. And there are people in a lot of these that can take the pin also.
Yes, that's true.
Willow and Stat.
Yeah.
That's an easy one.
If you wait, like, I don't know, 85 more days, Marina and Shayna, just to get them just wrecking, ladies.
We'll add that. Diamante and Kiera, if they want to go that route. Listen, I don't know Kiera's health status. She hasn't wrestled in a while. listen, you're almost certainly going to have a Joshi team or two in there.
Yeah.
You can any number. Off the top of our heads, we've got like 10.
Yeah.
And that's, and for this tournament, you bring in the iconics, the inspiration.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Like there are free agent teams. Like again, make it world women's tag titles. Yes. Bring in a couple CMLL teams. 100%. Bring in a team from Stardom or two.
Yeah.
Bring in some of those. Like it's very easy to do this and at least give more people things to do.
I see somebody in the chat saying Dakota Kai and Nixon Newell bring back Team Kick together.
I would love that. I would love that.
Fun. Yeah.
I would love it. Tell us why, Chant. I don't know why. Shadow says, the women of AEW are on fire tonight. Got to say, come on. Don't be saying stupid bullshit like this. Come on. Come on.
I think he's just saying he appreciates the outward beauty of all the ladies in the ring this evening.
Come on. What I don't need, and the reason I say stupid bullshit, is because people will clip it like I'm saying.
No, yeah. No, you don't read it out loud. Listen, you allow me to translate for the heathens out there.
You can say whatever you want, man, but people will act like I'm saying it when it gets read out loud. Yeah. Somebody says Brandi Rhodes and Awesome Kong. Very clever. Very clever. Oh, man. Very clever. Look, now he's like, he knows. He knows. Oh, man. Jordan says, loved seeing Rhino there, but was slightly distracted by Kip and the Lions guy at ringside who looked like he got kicked out. I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
Let's go back and check.
Leitcha says, I've been thinking the Pinnacle minus Wardlow might reunite ever since Tony said FTR's actions were the pinnacle of disgusting behavior. But they haven't leaned back into that. And FTR are heading on a crash course to Cope and Christian. Like, that's where they're going for their
right. I mean, I think there's enough time between now and then that you could work into a thing where they don't like Danny Garcia, and they seem to be trying to call out Tony Schiavone, but also Nigel. So my hope is we get Danny Garcia and Nigel McGuinness teaming together against FTR.
Yeah.
I think we can get that on Fyter Fest or any of these little things that they're doing, these named shows that they're pulling out. Do that at Double or Nothing. FTR versus Danny Garcia and Nigel McGuinness.
So we did see that, as you mentioned. They specifically said, tell your boy Nigel to be there. And Stokely wasn't happy as well. I really like Stokely with this team. Like
Stokely versus Tony Schiavone. Why not? Just put that in there.
Listen, Stokely versus Orange Cassidy was a great cinematic match. Like Stokely has worked. Stokely, when he was at the Performance Center, he trained. Like the dude worked. The Bucks are backstage. They talk with Ricochet, and then they're confronted by the Death Riders in a dark room.
We did not go back to this after that.
No.
It was not something we touched on again. So I'm wondering if that is the clandestine meeting to set up the Anarchy in the Arena match. Like, that's the thing. So. Like, we don't like you guys, but you keep wanting to team with us? Fine. We don't like you, but we will accept your help when we take out all these top baby faces who are pissing us off.
So yeah.
We're going to do that in Anarchy in the Arena. I feel like that works.
Tom LaValle says, Rhino's first TV match was TBS against Hacksaw Jim Duggan in 95. I posted a tweet. This is wild. I mean, it might be the closest to Christopher Daniels level, but Rhino has wrestled WWE, WCW, ECW, NWA, TNA, ROH, AEW, AAA, NOAH, and New Japan.
Wow.
And listen, if he wants to hit All Japan and CMLL that bad,
he could do it.
He could do it.
Everybody.
He could do it. I'm honestly surprised they didn't have him pop up in Lucha Underground as an actual rhinoceros at some point. Like, come on. Had he not been under whatever deal I think he was in WWE at that point.
They would have done it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Ricochet and the Young Bucks beat Swerve, Mark Briscoe, and Mike Bailey. And again, unpredictable. I did not see Matt Jackson pinning Swerve with a small package here.
No.
Because let's be real, every time Mark Briscoe's in one of these matches, you expect him to take the pin.
You do.
And this was shocking. And this is what I think AEW needs. They need that unpredictability. Like in this, and even like, it's wild to say, your world champion winning a match earlier with Tony Storm. But it was clean. I know that some people say, oh, well, a quick roll up. No, name of the game is score the pin.
Yeah,
it's clean.
Yeah. I mean, clean. Swerve's reaction afterwards sold it. Like, he could not believe that he walked right into that. And also, I mean, it's the Young Bucks. These guys have been around. Like, they know counters to stuff. They also are smart enough to know Swerve's moves. Like, that's a thing you could easily have scouted with a perfect counter to it. And they used it, and it worked. And they get to, like, be smarmy and gloat about it afterwards with Ricochet. By the way, Ricochet just fully joining the Elite is my next thing I'm manifesting. Oh,
he fits like, so well.
That character fits so well with the Bucks and Okada. Just, like, it's great. I think there's absolutely a place for Jack Perry in AEW. But Ricochet fits a lot better with those three guys than Jack Perry ever did. He was a different he was like this weird, crazy dude who hung out with them. Like, Ricochet feels like he belongs with the Young Bucks and Okada. I feel like just an actual, it'd be really funny if they did an actual, like, induction ceremony and made us sit there, and as they like they did some weird kind of a thing, like a secret society thing with robes and reading out of a giant book or something. This is how we induct people into the Elite. We're going to show you. And
would fun. Jack Perry be there?
I don't know what's going on with Jack Perry. Honestly, for a tiny second when they said somebody from Christian Cage's past, I was like, Jack Perry? Nah.
Yeah.
Nah,
would Hangman be there?
Well, didn't they kick him out? Kind of.
They suspended him.
Well, yeah.
And you know what? They could have him say. They could be like, "Well, we're going to lift your suspension so you can attend."
And have then you know he could RSVP in the negative.
Yes. And RSVP no.
Yeah.
But like Brandon Cutler and Nakazawa are there as well. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, I like this match. Obviously, this is
yeah.
I don't want them to lean too much into the 6-man, 8-man tags and stuff, but good match, and I really, really love the finish here. I also loved Roosh getting. Listen, his catchphrase is getting over.
Oh,
you mess
yeah.
with the bull, you get the arms.
Oh yeah, the entire arena did it, man. They were in on it.
So
good stuff.
He's pissed about missing out on that 100K.
Well, here's the thing that when I saw that they announced Kevin Knight versus Okada in the Eliminator, I was like, you're spreading Kevin Knight awfully thin. We know he's got a thing where like he and Ricochet have kind of become these enemies in recent weeks. And then on Collision, like he and Roosh brawled to the back. That's not something Roosh is going to like just let go. And so this thing with Okada, I was like, Kevin Knight has made so many enemies so quickly. I feel like there's no way that this match either finishes or in this case gets started without something going wrong for Kevin Knight. And I like that basically Roosh has helped Okada to write Kevin Knight off of the show before he goes to Japan for a while.
At this point, I want the Bucks to be approached by Okada the next time he has a match and him to be concerned. And they're like, don't worry. Your contractually obligated half-assed match will still happen. Because we have not seen the Okada yet.
No.
This is a good match. Mm-hmm. But also, it was one of those matches that gave him the out to, go at a pace that wasn't balls to the wall or anything like that.
My conspiracy theory is that he knows what he's doing and that he's saving it for All In versus Kenny. We are going to see the real honest to God Kazuchika Okada against Kenny Omega. Like that is that this is lull them into us in the sense of complacency, thinking that I don't have it anymore, and then pull it out against Kenny. I feel like that. Maybe it's wishful thinking, but I feel like that's what they're going for.
I want to say this. He doesn't have bad matches.
No.
Except, okay, the one with Ultimo Guerrero last year was ass.
Okay.
Well, but other than that,
he
doesn't have bad matches. The Ospreay match was incredible, and a lot of the 8-man, 6-man tags are a lot of fun. Like,
yeah.
But he doesn't have, other than the Ospreay match, like incredible one-on-one matches these days. And I have never been a fan of, yeah, let them think that you actually aren't that great. I don't like it.
I know.
So, yeah.
But in this case, I'll take it if the thing you're saving it up for is Kenny friggin' Omega.
Yes. He is entertaining. Listen, he translates to American TV very well. Really, and that's something that Tony Khan, I know, always had a vision for.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter has a sit-down interview, and they sold me a ticket here in a different way. I did not think they were in the building. I did not think they were live.
I thought it was taped. Yeah.
And here's the thing. Probably was taped.
Well.
But they probably kicked off the arena element of it, where Mercedes and her go fight. Somebody says Okada versus Pac was amazing. That was like, it's like over a year ago.
That was like
13 months ago. Come on now. But this was a very effective segment. And, you know, you had wondered, how are they going to make this work with so much time? They've only got, a couple more Dynamites now till this match.
Yeah. I liked this. Jamie Hayter taking offense at being compared to Mercedes Moné. How dare you? I'm nothing like her. So yeah, this was good. The little brawl thing coming out into the opera boxes was cool in this old theater was really cool.
Oh, Alex, hate to say I told everybody so, but these venues are a part of the show now.
Yes,
they look different. They feel different.
100%.
If AEW ever does another video game that isn't just Whomp again, they've got like all these settings as a reference point as well. Like, you want the venue to become a sort of like a character of its own. That way people will always remember, oh my God, this. I remember what the Manhattan Center looks like. I remember when Mall of America happened. I remember all these places.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's specific to the city, I remember Raw Roulette, like, because it was fun and different. Make where you are a character of the show, and they're doing that so well.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And, like, to be honest with you, I don't give a shit if they got 14, 15,000. It'd be great if they did. True. Good for WWE having that many, but, like, I just want cool venues and loud crowds that care. That's it. We had Willow and Stat. I actually like how they set this up, because one of my big complaints on wrestling TV is, why are you having these awkward conversations with your friends or frenemies in front of people? And Statlander says, all right, since you don't want to talk in the back or answer your phone, I will ask you right here on the spot. So you've got to answer. And now we're getting this match tomorrow. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
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 I guess I thought, for some reason, since I had seen Stat come to Willow's aid a couple of times, I guess I just pieced it together that they had hashed this out already. But I guess what had happened was that Stat kept trying to prove herself that she's not that person anymore to Willow. And Willow has never accepted her apology yet. And I guess I feel bad for not recognizing that in the moment, but maybe they could have made Willow and Stat bigger characters coming into this particular moment, showing us more of this more often. But I'm really into Willow being like, so you want to have a talk? Let's have a talk in the ring with our fists tomorrow. Yeah. Like I honestly like Willow doing that, and I like Stat being like, fine, yeah, that's okay. Like I want to be your friend, but you would rather be my enemy is an interesting way of heating up a little thing, a little back and forth. Like I want to, I'm trying to be the bigger woman here and say I was wrong and I value our friendship too much to let that, to let it end. And you simply won't accept my apology, which can flip Statlander over to being bad again. I think there's a lot of cool, interesting ways that this can be handled. And we know for a fact that Willow and Stat make magic together when they're fighting each other. Great stuff.
Just Ricardo says that pose with the Bucks and Ricochet. Mm-hmm. He's a great fit.
It perfectly fits.
And James Zimmerman says Swerve keeps getting over each week more and more. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the true test when you've already had your top run. And a number of these guys have, like, MJF has had his run, and now he's in a situation where he's getting these great reactions with Hurt Syndicate. Hangman Page, all the time, over.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega, when he's there, over, big time. It's going really well.
Yep.
Samoa Joe defeated Claudio Castagnoli. Any thoughts on this one? They're obviously setting up Samoa Joe for his title match and possibly to participate in Anarchy in the Arena along with the Ops as well.
Yeah. This was hard hitting as you expected it would be.
I didn't think so. Not really.
No, I know. I really liked how it didn't feel like, oh, well, now the heel has the advantage. The babyface gets a comeback. It just felt like these two evenly matched, big, strong dudes who love to hit people in the mouth really hard just did that to each other. Nobody had the advantage for more than a couple of moves at a time. They just kept banging on each other, and you could tell.
Whoa.
It wasn't. Well, okay, fine. Pounding? Is pounding okay? That's even worse, right? No. Gosh, what a thrusting would be even worse. So, no, I don't know. Like, it was, Will Ospreay and Hangman didn't kiss. So Claudio and Samoa Joe had to take each other to Pound Town. Like, we're inching closer to June 1st.
Inching.
At that point, everything is fair game. So,
just banging on each other.
Yeah.
Before we go, guys, I want to tell you all about BetOnline.ag. Of course, please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. You can compare to their competitors. They're trusted by millions. They got a VIP rewards program. You can deposit with crypto. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. And they have the fastest payouts with payouts in minutes. NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, this weekend's UFC, they got you covered. But this weekend is also WWE Backlash. Right now, Dominic Mysterio is a big favorite over Penta. I think the only way that one happens is if Judgment Day helps him win and he's like upset that Judgment Day. Because I think we're headed towards the babyface Dominic.
The inevitable thing is Finn Balor stopping to pretend like he's happy that Dominic Mysterio is IC champion. I don't think they're pulling the trigger this Saturday, but I think that is the inevitable conclusion of this.
Yes, and I've been saying this nonstop. Like, there are very few people that can straight up steal somebody's gimmick and work with it. Dominic outright stealing Eddie Guerrero's gimmick is something that you can get away with in 2025, considering
that's his biological father. So
yes, and physically and history, like, sure, it works so well for him. He'll get over so much with that. John Cena, massive favorite over Randy Orton. I think everybody's kind of expecting that one. The one that surprised me, Becky Lynch, is a big favorite over Lyra Valkyria, because I think that Bayley comes back and costs Becky in this match.
I expect Becky to win because I expect the Bayley versus Becky to be for the Intercontinental title.
Okay.
I'd be like, that's your feud for the IC title, really making for the first time with either of these titles it feel really important, because we've loved what Chelsea Green did with the US title, but she was just, you know, doing match after match with Meechan, and then she lost to Zelina. Like, so the IC title, it feels really important when you got women who are absolute legends, first ballot Hall of Famers, Bayley and Becky, fighting over it.
Jacob Fatu, a big favorite over the other order of odds. Drew McIntyre, LA Knight, Damian Priest. I can see Drew and Damian costing each other. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for the solo Jacob Fatu feud. Like, listen, mm-hmm. the Tongans are hurt right now. They're not using the other Hikuleo. The bloodline's done. It's done, done. With this. This is the end of the bloodline.
It is.
And I wouldn't mind Solo Sikoa either trying to cost him the title or costing him the title and us getting off to the races there. But what I will tell you guys, Gunther is a massive favorite over Pat McAfee, and I don't want Gunther to lose this match. If he does, it's something Goldberg related. And if he does, I will be tuning into Alex's post show immediately after.
I have accepted that Pat McAfee is going to win that match. I have sometimes certain possibilities for matches are so terrible that I have to accept them as truth ahead of time so I can like modulate my rage.
I don't think so. I think that you have the initial Pat McAfee jumps in, goes after him, spot, then bam, chop to the chest midair. Then his buddies hop around ringside. He gets a couple moves in and gets that ass whipped. That's what I think happens. BetOnline AG. We're going to have our picks. We'll have some lock picks over there on that, on Fightful Select. But, man, we encourage you guys to check it out. Before we go, N. Simmons says, great show tonight. AEW heating up. Jamie looked amazing. All the matches were fun. Ricochet fits so well with the Elite. I think them together can get him to that next level where we know he can be. N. Simmons, I would argue he's already at that next level. Like, I think he's already at a level that – go ahead.
So much so that I could absolutely see Will Ospreay wins the Owen, beats Moxley for the title in at All In, and by world's end, if not sooner, Ricochet beats Will Ospreay with the help of the Young Bucks and Okada, and the Elite have a world champion in their midst again. Like, I absolutely could see that. Like, he's really, really taken to this heel character so well, and having the Bucks and Okada alongside him, I think, honestly, like, the sky's the limit.
Meet Normus, I did get your Humper Chat. There's not a message attached to it, so just drop me a line sometime and we'll read you one on here. I appreciate you guys so much. N. Simmons, I'm with you on Ricochet, though. I think he made the right move, the absolute move. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on all the media's social at Alex Sour Graps, and also over on Fightful Select. We review Raw, me and Kate, after the show on Mondays. Tuesdays, we'll be talking about NXT, some really interesting stuff going on over there in different ways. And then I review the first 2 hours of SmackDown watch along with the third hour of SmackDown on Fridays. That's usually a fun little hybrid review and watch along that people seem to enjoy. So come hang out if I have to select. A lot of fun.
Maple Leafs are up 2-0, guys. I'm going to go celebrate by doing some stairs. I appreciate you guys. Until next time, we're out.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.